Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. So this last Thursday was Mother Angelica's birthday. And oh, happy belated birthday, Mother Angelica. She has touched the hearts and lives of so many people around the world. And she is still touching the hearts and lives of people around the world, even though she is not here with us. But Catherine Hadrow sent over a beautiful birthday message, even though her birthday was on Thursday, for Mother Angelica. So here is Catherine Hadrow.
Happy birthday, Mother Angelica. This is Catherine Hadrow. I'm the founding host of EWTN Pro Life Weekly and one of the contributing authors of Women Made New. I have memories of watching Mother Angelica live on television when I was a little girl, sometimes sitting in between both my mother and my grandmother. She brought us all together. And looking back, I realized that those three women, then I was just a little girl, but those three women sitting on the couch, each were children of divorce. And we would watch Mother Angelica together, another child of divorce. Mother Angelica knew that unique and difficult suffering that children of divorce experienced. And she offered that suffering to God. She offered all her suffering to God, including the incredible physical suffering that she had. She helped teach me how to offer it up. I even remember her talking about that on her show and how she would offer up the extra sugar in her sweet tea so it wouldn't be as sweet as she would like. Mother Angelica, I love you. Happy birthday. I'm so grateful for these past 100 years of you.
Thank you, Catherine, for that. Okay, everyone, without further ado, we are going to get into it with our next guest. Here we go.
Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. I am here today with Dominique Pat-Lazak, and I hope I didn't butcher her last name. And I was really intimidated to say it. It was one of those last names, everyone. So, Dominique, welcome to the program. Welcome to Women Made New.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
So this last week on the 20th, the 20th, which was a Thursday, was Mother Angelica's birthday. Mm-hmm. And it was her 100th birthday. And it was really beautiful the way EWTN just honored her. And they had things going all day on EWTN. And it is just so beautiful to see that this nun and what she did and what she created, all by listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and listening and doing what she knew Jesus was asking her to do. And I wanted to interview you specifically because you have that fire in your belly and you have that just like, okay, Jesus, let's go. What needs to be done right now? Because mm-hmm. you are a mom of how many children?
I have three under three.
Three under three. And that's not easy. That's like you're in the trenches right now. You're in that. The trenches of the diapers and the kids and the just constant. Like they really need you for everything, right? Mm-hmm. And as they get over that hump, there's almost like this level of independence, almost in the fours, it seems like, where they're doing a lot of different things on their own, even just with still some help. But still at the threes, it's pretty difficult, huh?
Mm-hmm. It is. It's always busy. But, you know better than anyone, we learn a lot from these kids. And I feel like we're fighting for them and their generation.
Yes, the generation is definitely under attack. It's been for a while, but the onslaught right now seems to be revved up and more serious. And there is no denying it anymore. You know, there's no right. any other direction. There's no, oh, is this really happening? No, it is. And it's in our face. And we all mm-hmm. can see it and we know it. But I really feel like God is raising up these just different warriors and giving people courage and really being able to live out their faith in this day and age. And to go back, I wanted to interview you because you literally contacted me out of nowhere and you are going to be putting on a Women Made New big seminar here in the Diocese of Phoenix at Joan of Arc Church. And it just kind of came out of nowhere and you felt just those promptings of the Holy spirit. And there's so many women in different communities right now who are feeling that same prompting, who know that God's asking them to do something, mm-hmm. and they see other women hurting and they want to help, but they're not sure what to do. And they question themselves and they start listening to that demonic dialogue of that insecurity and who am I to do anything kind of thing. So can you walk me through that process? Because I know there are a lot of women out there right now kind of on the fence and not sure. And is God really asking me to do something? And this isn't about Women Made New or seminars or anything like that. This really is about if God is asking you to do something, you got to do it. Mm-hmm. And you have to have the courage. And I wanted to introduce you to other women and just to spread that courage and give other women courage not to be afraid and just to listen and just give it to God, and he's going to bless them. But mm-hmm. courage is contagious, and I see that you have that, and it's beautiful. So I want you to just kind of walk through the process of your faith, of who you are, where you've been, where you've come from, and how you got to this point.
Okay. I was born and raised Catholic, but, you know, we didn't go to Sunday Mass. I didn't know what adoration was, even having gone to Catholic school my whole life. And we didn't talk about God at home. So I was married to my husband in the Catholic Church in 2018. But it was more because our families were Catholic. Like, we didn't have, neither of us had had that conversion of heart. We were just going through the motions. And in 2019, I was pierced by an arrow of grace and infused with the knowledge of faith. That's the only way I can put it. And that's when the wow. Lord put me to work. And it was like, no more rose-colored glasses. You're not helping anyone with your rose-colored glasses. Take them off, put them down, let's go to work. And so, I mean, it was actually paralyzing. I was paralyzed for months. I couldn't leave the house because I had all this knowledge of truth that I hadn't had. I mean, to give you some perspective, I was working at Cosmopolitan in New York City in Hearst Tower. And before
wow.
I had kids,
wow.
It's just, I was paralyzed. Like, I couldn't leave my house because I saw everything for what it was. And it was a grace, but it was painful because I saw how I had hurt mm-hmm. the Lord. And, you know, the Lord knew I had to find his mercy before anything, because if I didn't find his mercy, I wasn't going to be able to work for him. I had to know that I was forgiven. And I had to be able to walk with these other women and say, you're forgiven too. If I'm forgiven, you can be forgiven. And so that's when I fell in love with St. Faustina and Divine Mercy. And I found St. Joan of Arc with my husband and kids. And Father Keneally really, looking back, it was just such a miracle that we ended up there. I mean, St. Joan of Arc is 20 minutes from our house. It's not like it was our parish closest to us. And Father Keneally just started opening all these doors for me to share my faith and to work for the Lord. So that's kind of how I ended up there.
Walk us through this process. I want to go back for mm-hmm. a minute. I want to walk us through the process of you're in your home and you're overwhelmed and mm-hmm. it's like, ooh, what do I even do? How do I handle this? How do I face mm-hmm. this? This is so much. How and what was the process for you in your life in that moment to get out of that?
So embarrassing. I didn't even have a Bible. And I reached for my daughter's storybook child Bible that we had been given at her baptism, because that is all I had on hand. And we read the whole thing, and I just kept reading it and reading it. And I reached out to my old teacher from Xavier, Gavin Ahern, and I'm like, what Bible do I buy? There are so many versions out there. What do I buy? And I started, the Lord started putting things in my head, like maybe I need to start I knew I needed to do something. Is it a women's Bible study? What is it? And it just took time to slowly pick apart what he wanted me to do. And I had to wait. I found my spiritual director at this time, and she was able to help me to get back out into society because I was so paralyzed, which is very unlike me.
How was your belief in the Eucharist, and how did you grow in that? Because coming from where you came from to believing in Jesus in the Eucharist is a huge leap, and there's a Eucharistic revival happening right now in our church. So for those that are having issues with disbelief in our Eucharistic Jesus. How did you handle all of that?
I grew up in Catholic school, and I did not know what the real presence in the Eucharist was. And, you know, maybe I memorized it for a test at one point, but I did not, I couldn't comprehend it. And after I had my conversion, it hit me. And I was like, no, this is not a symbol. I just knew it. It was an infusion. And so I started researching Eucharistic miracles, and my mind was blown. I mean, there is no way any Protestant, anyone can look at that and see, you can't deny this. I mean, AB type blood. It is a live beating heart that has been tortured. And the miracles are just countless. And so after I saw that, I loved adoration. I didn't understand it before. I had never even gone, Crystallina. And now is my favorite place to be. And I get so many answers from the Lord in adoration. I'm not a quiet person, and I don't like sitting still. And I could sit with Jesus in front of the Blessed Sacrament forever.
So when you first, like, really, because it almost went, for me, it's like it goes to your head down to your heart, and it's mm-hmm. a whole different world there, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a whole relationship there. And once you embrace that, what were your adorations like in the beginning, and what did you do? Because there's a lot of women where you are at, and they don't understand adoration. They're kind of so awkward. They don't know what to do there. They're just like, what do I sit? Do I pray? Do I this? Do I that? What would you say to them?
I would say it can be tough at the beginning because your mind can get in the way. But keep going, because mm-hmm. you are sitting in front of Jesus, and he will reach you. He will. He'll reach you where you need to be met. And that's what he did for me. And at first, I would go, but I didn't always feel like I got something out of it. And I would still show up. And there's such a gift in that, to just show up. But now, I mean, my heart is just so in it. And that was Jesus transforming my heart just from sitting in front of him.
Isn't that what he wants, though, for us just to show up? Mm-hmm. Isn't that what anyone wants in any relationship, though, is just to show up, to be present, and mm-hmm. to know that you love them and you care for them and that you're here, right?
Yes.
That's pretty much like the foundation of any real deep relationship with people you love. And if you have those things, then he can work with that, right? Mm-hmm. That you're willing. And it's all about showing up to your own fight as well, because this is a spiritual battle mm-hmm. that every single one of us are in, and no one's battle looks the same. It's not going to look the same. And you can't compare what you're experiencing in your life or your battles that you're struggling with spiritually with somebody else necessarily, because it's all going to be very unique to that person. But we do, and the way we handle it, but we are getting attack the same way, but we all handle it differently. Mm-hmm. And our experiences will be differently in that attack, correct?
And it is such a battle. You're completely right. We're in a battle. Yeah. And
yes, it's a massive battle.
I mean, what was placed on my heart was that the devil has a scheme to harvest more souls than ever today. But God has a plan. And his plan includes a generation that's going to see an outpouring of the Spirit of God. But it requires us to give our yes and for us to go to battle with a sense of urgency. And the Lord put the urgency on my heart. And so adoration was a place for me to find peace, even though I had the urgency to help the Lord. I had an urgency, but I had peace. And that is the number one thing that I find in adoration is peace.
And when you say you have to help yourself before you can help other people, and I feel like God is calling women to this healing that he wants to give so many people, but they're afraid, because if they really face themselves and what is happening, it's hard. It's mm-hmm. scary. It's something they just want to ignore and stuff, and wounds of the past, or maybe an abortion, or you've been raped, or you've been unfaithful in your marriage, or you have an eating disorder, whatever it is, it's never pretty and it's always ugly, and everyone wants to hide that part of themselves, you know, but God sees that part of you fully. You can't hide from God as much as I tried. I couldn't hide from God. And even now it's like He's continuing that healing process. You know, he's never going to truly be officially done with you here. It's always going to be a work in progress. And even if those of you that are striving for that holiness and are doing everything you can, but you have fallen and it's hard, and you're just like, when is this going to stop? I'm doing everything. God has a plan for you. And God says no more. God says no more, right? And I know you've experienced that in your life. I've experienced that in my life. But it's really powerful when it does happen. But it's our continued yes. It's our continued showing up to that fight and listening to those promptings and being obedient in that. I think it's huge for us. And that's one thing that the society today does not want us to be obedient. It doesn't want the silence. It doesn't want us to listen, right? It doesn't want us to fulfill the mission that God created each of us for. And each of us has a very specific mission. And just like going back to Mother Angelica, look at her mission. Can you even imagine? And she came from divorce, came from a messed up family. And just, I mean, everything she saw growing up, I related so much to that. And she didn't come from perfection. And she was always striving for holiness in everything that she did. But you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be pristine. And that's when God is going to love you and be there for you. It's in your mess. It's exactly where you are at, but he is going to strengthen you and he wants you to start over and new, and you can. And but when I talk about my conversion, I feel like I'm talking about somebody else. And I can imagine, Dominique, when you think about or you talk about your old self in New York working for Cosmopolitan, I mean, is that person not a completely different person than who you are right now? It's like you're talking about a different woman.
Mm-hmm. Completely different. Completely different, night and day.
Wow. Again, we are here on Women Made New, and my guest today is Dominique, and she is just this amazing, strong woman of God and doing great things in her community. And why? Because of love for Jesus, and God put things on her heart, and the promptings of the Holy Spirit are there. And I know some of you can relate. Because I know God is calling his people, and he's calling us to do great things. He's calling us to do small things for people, and he's calling us to help our community around us and even make changes within our own home. And it's not always easy, but she's just an excellent example of just doing the will of God and helping a lot of people in her community. And also, Dominique's conversion story is absolutely phenomenal. I love it. I love it. And honestly, I didn't get too much into it. So I'm listening like my listeners right now for the first time. And it's astonishing and it's amazing. So I want to go back to when you really started getting into your faith, and what was it like going to confession? Because you had really been through a lot, and you had this realization of just the way you're living. It went from your head almost to your heart of just like embracing Jesus and the reality of your faith and that relationship with him. And I would say confession for me was really a huge starting point in the path of my conversion. Do you find the same thing?
Yes. Yes. It was like a fresh start. It was a fresh start. I hadn't been
in
15 years.
It's like you can't start without it, right?
Right. Yep. I hadn't been in 15 years, and I prepared for months, actually. And
wow.
I was so embarrassed, you know, but I just kept reminding myself, don't be embarrassed. Jesus already knows what you did, and he's going to forgive you. He already forgives you. And the way I think I floated out of the building, because I don't even know. You only know it when you experience it and you just walk out. And I remember taking a selfie in front of the church after, because I just felt so happy and so free, and I knew I was forgiven. And it can be intimidating because it's your past self. You've changed. You're not that person anymore. But to relive those memories in your mind, and for me, I knew I had to write these out. Let me write them out. I don't want to miss anything. I want to say it all. I want to go and do it once and not forget anything. So I wrote everything out, and it was a beautiful experience. And I was with Father Keneally, and he just showed me the mercy of God through confession. And it's something that you can only feel when you go do it. And I would encourage everybody to go do it. Run to confession. You will feel so free.
right? And every Saturday, they hear it every Saturday. It is Saturday, everyone. And right now there is confession this afternoon in most Catholic churches around the United States. And if you don't know where the closest Catholic church is to you, you can go to womenmadenew.com and you can scroll down to faith and click on that box. And there is a place where you can find the nearest church, adoration chapel, mass times, confession times, and what's closest to you. So we don't have excuses here at Women Made New. We make sure you have everything you need to start your healing process and to get close to Jesus. Because imagine carrying all that baggage for so long. And Dominique and I both know what that is like. But to walk out of that church and leave that baggage there, there is nothing on earth like it, right? There's nothing. Nothing, nothing can compare to that moment.
Nothing can compare.
I call that my Lazarus moment. I was so dead inside. I was so dead. And I was so gross. And the shame I had for years of living that way. And I wanted that so badly not to be ashamed. And it is such a gift that God gives you. And you know, how beautiful is this, everyone? During Lent, I think it was that Thursday, or they had confession, and I wanted to make sure our whole family went to confession before Easter. And we went really early, but our church was amazing. They were doing confession from 7 in the morning until noon, right? To make sure whoever wanted to come, that door was open for them, right? And there was one point I counted, there were 58 people in line. How amazing is that?
Praise God. That is amazing.
58 people. And it was like wrapped around. And I was almost in tears of like, this is amazing. And the devil has got to be furious.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, what is happening? This is beautiful. But God is really speaking to people's hearts. And you're not the only one, right? And it was beautiful to see fellow Catholics doing what was right and listening and answering that call. And it was just beautiful. All of us there like soldiers waiting in line to go in and see the doctor almost before battle, you know, or to go because we got wounded from the battle, you know, and we fell. And it was just wonderful to see. And I will say the man before me, he was like in his 20s, Dominique, and he was covered in tattoos. And I don't know what those things are that are in their ears where they like stretch out your earlobe when you have any piercing.
Gauges.
I have no idea. I don't know anything about any of that. I just know when I see it and they have them out and your earlobe like hanging.
Uh-huh.
And he was just, you could just tell he was scared. And he was like, but he was like right before me. And I was just observing him. And yes, I was paying attention to my own confession, but we were there a while, everyone. Okay. We were there a very long time. And I could just see the process as we were getting closer. He started getting scared and he started shifting and he was just like fidgeting. And there's like three people, then there's two people. And he just was like kind of just like shifting and just, you could tell it, like the evil was trying to work on him in that fear, you know? But I watched him walk into that confessional and I was just like, wow, Lord Jesus, I can't even imagine the amazing things you're going to do in that man's life.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just looked like he had been in so much bondage and he had had a hard life. He had been through a lot, right? And I could recognize that in myself way back. And I don't know, I didn't see him when he came out because I was in my own confession dealing with myself, but it was really unbelievable and remarkable to see that. And it's just beautiful. So everyone has a seat at God's table. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done. Everybody has a seat at God's table and everybody has a voice at God's table. And just because you're a sinner, well, so am I, and so is Dominique, and so is everyone else in the world. So nobody on this earth is walking and not a sinner or been a sinner. So you are definitely welcome. So Dominique, we are going to be taking a quick break here, but before we do that, give just like a quick rundown of your background.
I am a mom of three. Amelia Presley, Grayson Andrew, and Lux James are my babies. Mm-hmm. My husband of 5 years, 6 years? I'm going to be in trouble.
Don't worry. I get it. You're totally fine.
I am a volunteer at St. Joan of Arc in Phoenix. I started the Pray and Play Moms group for moms to go to confession while kids play. We are doing the Woman Made New retreat this year, which I'm so excited about. And I am a co-worker for life with the Sisters of Life in Phoenix.
Wow. So from going to working in New York City, Cosmopolitan, now that is your resume and it's magnificent. It's beautiful. I have to say, I love it. So we are going to take a quick break with our friends over at EWTN, and we will be right back with more from Dominique. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining us. And for those of you that just tuned in, we are going through Dominique's conversion story, and she has a pretty amazing one. She used to work at Cosmopolitan in New York City, and she had a big conversion. And just give the listeners a quick rundown of your conversion story, and just for those who just tuned in, and then we'll go from there.
In 2019, after going in for a year to New York and working at Cosmo, we had our first baby, and I was pierced by an arrow of grace and infused with the knowledge of faith. And that's when the Lord put me to work with a sense of urgency placed on my heart to go fight for souls.
Wow, that's beautiful. Now, we were talking about your conversion story, and then you went to confession, you started going to adoration, and your entire life changed. So what did that look like? Because you lived a secular life, and then you really started embracing your life of faith. So what changes did you make in your life? Because I know women are curious about that. Even I'm curious about that.
So I started praying the rosary every day. And especially when you first start, it might feel a little bit dry. But over time, and especially as I got to know the rosary better, and I could kind of just like let my mind relax and pray without having to think, where am I? What am I doing now? The graces were just poured out upon me. I mean, the miracles that I started seeing, not just for myself, but those around me, were happening all over. So the rosary daily, the Divine Mercy chaplet every day at 3 p.m. Our Lord says, anything that you ask through this chaplet will be obtained if it is within my will. I mean, how can we not pray that daily? So those were my two big changes that, you know, they took a while. The way I dressed changed. I think my family, my poor husband, he didn't know what was happening. He's like,
and you didn't either. I mean, you're kind of like figuring it all out. It's hard. It's a hard process to go through, but you're growing. So I totally understand.
Yes, I just fell in love with the Lord. I was reading the Bible. I was putting pictures of Jesus and Mary all over our house and doing consecrations to St. Joseph. I mean, everything that you can think of, I was just drinking out of a fire hose. But our lives changed for the better, you know, and I think sometimes when you have a radical conversion like this, it can shake the ones around you and it can feel like they look at you like maybe you're pretending to be somebody else. And then over time they realize, no, oh my goodness. Like they see the light of Jesus shining through you. So it takes time. But at first, you know, it was just doing it to do it. I knew I had to pray the rosary. I knew I had to pray the chaplet, go to adoration, Sunday mass, confession, checking the boxes. And then the graces were just poured out upon us.
Now, how often did you go to confession or do you go to confession?
I try to go every week, but Pray and Play provides it once a month for moms.
Yes. Wow. Okay. So how did your husband handle your conversion? I mean, because this sounds pretty drastic,
you know,
and you're doing this and you're doing that and things are changing. So how did you handle that dynamic in your marriage? Because that's going to happen to some people and they don't know what to do.
We were sitting at the table with Father Cruz, who's one of my good friends, and I was just probably sharing too much of what I felt about the times we were living in and what was to come and blah, blah, blah. And Father Cruz just looked at my husband, Clayton, and goes, "You're a saint." Here I am trying to be this saint, and my husband is actually the saint because he didn't marry me. He didn't marry me the way I am. He didn't know what was happening. You know, I didn't know what was happening. Overnight, I said, oh, we're doing NFP and we're doing it right. And he's like, what is going on? You know? And so he was so beautiful. I mean, I just fell so much more in love with him throughout that conversion because he was so willing to adapt and change without even having his own conversion. Like, he just trusted me. I was like, no, we have to do this. This is the right way. We have to do this. And he just trusted me. And he has been so submissive in the Lord's will for our family. It is so beautiful to witness.
So when you started like right ordering your house, and there is this moment where it's like, okay, there is an order to your household and having a godly household and being submissive to your husband, right? Because you were being the leader for a while, it sounds like. Did that shift, and what did that look like? And was it hard?
Well, you know, sometimes I felt like I was prying, and the Lord really told me to just surrender it to him. Like, you're not going to push anyone to have their conversion of heart. The Lord will handle it. And I prayed the chaplet with this intention. And my husband's now a St. Joseph Porter at our church and becoming more involved there. And he has friends at our parish. So his conversion is in God's time too. And it's been different to see it because I am submissive to him, my husband. But for a short time, I was kind of leading our family in faith. And now that that's shifting, it's miraculous to see.
Oh, I bet that's just so beautiful, and grace and the peace, right? Mm-hmm. But there's this like earthquake that kind of happens when things are changing and shifting, and the ground is changing around you. And you have to trust in Jesus because he's doing something, and it's not always pretty and it's not always fun. Sometimes it's hard and challenging, but you just have to go with it and through it. And what I have found, and maybe you can relate to this, I think a lot of women can, is that it's scary sometimes because you don't know what the future holds, and you have to go through. And sometimes there are difficult times in your life that you have to go through. And that's the only way is through, you know, and we try to find like different like ways around it, or like little ways we can cheat to just like, I don't want to go through, I'll go up, I'll go over, I'll go around, but I don't want to go through, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes you have to, and it's the only way to shed and to grow and to heal and to start over and step in to whatever it is God is calling you to be as a woman. And that's my question for women right now, is to really have some self-reflection. And I know you can relate to this, Dominique, of what have women asked themselves of, what is it that is keeping you right now in your life from becoming the woman that God is calling you to be? And even in my own life, when I say that, I could think of certain things where it's like, okay, it's time to address this. It's time to address that, you know? And if they're big or if they're little, it's something that God is bringing to the forefront, and it has to be addressed. But every time I have addressed it, as hard as it is or humbling as it is, and you slay it or you cut the serpent's head off with it, the graces that abound there are unbelievable, and the spiritual growth. And I feel like as women, if we are going to take our faith truly seriously as women of God, really being obedient to what he's asking us to do and asking us to deal with in our lives is huge. And it's also a game changer when it comes to how you are going to serve God and your own spiritual growth. Did you experience that?
Yeah, I've just learned we have to carry our cross. You can't go around it, above it, below it. You have to carry your cross, and you have to do it with joy. And when you do that and you unite your suffering, whether it's your suffering because you want a conversion of somebody you love and it just hasn't happened yet, or whatever it is, unite that suffering with Jesus and his suffering. And it's so pleasing to him. We console his heart when we do that.
Can you tell me, you went from your conversion and right order things in your household, Jesus, your home was Jesus' dwelling place, and in your heart, in your mind, and you're trying to do what is right now, right? Mm-hmm. And live to the doctrine of the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. So you went to that point, and then you started getting involved in church. Tell me about that process, because right now women are where you're at, and they know that they need to be more involved, or God has put something on their heart. But again, let's go back to the very beginning of what I said. They're fearful, or they're scared, or they're not really sure if they should be doing that, or there's someone out there better who could be doing that. Because you have such a fire in what you're doing, and even just you approaching me and coming to me and wanting to do this Woman Made New just conference and retreat for women for that day at your parish, and bringing all these different parishes in, it's really beautiful that you took the initiative and you just did it, and it's all coming together because the hand of God was in it. And it's not even just a Woman Made New retreat. It's just maybe they're being asked to help in their youth group, or start a book study, or start a Bible study, or whatever it is God put on their heart, or they're looking through the bulletin on Sundays, or they hear that from the pulpit of the different announcements of, well, this is happening, or we need a volunteer here, or see that you know someone in your church is hurting, and God put that on your heart. Where did you go from you feel that in your heart to actually like the action that you put behind it? Can you tell us about that process? Did you pray about it? Did you talk to your spiritual director about it? Did you go to adoration for it? Tell us about that.
So the Lord knows I'm not very still. I'm not good at being still. And so He will just kind of hit me over the head with a vision of what He wants from me. And from there, I kind of try and piece it together and see if that's until I feel like, okay, this is His will. And so when I first started doing retreats and mom's groups for confession and all these things, I found myself dulling my flame to fit in. I didn't want to stand out. I felt like I had to be kind of quiet, and I was dulling my gifts, the gifts that the Lord wants me to use to save souls. And so once I realized—
Was there a level of insecurity? Sorry to interrupt you, but there's a level of insecurity that you were going to be too much for people, or that like you didn't want to take over a situation, or that you just would be extra.
Yes.
There's this like extra, and you're just kind of like, you kind of do see your light out of that insecurity and that fear, because the devil is working on you with that demonic dialogue of your insecurities, right? And I have felt that. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And a lot of women are dulling the light of God within them because they are feeding in to that insecurity and that fear that they're mm-hmm. going to be extra when God is asking them to shine, and they don't want to. And it's not a prideful thing. This isn't an arrogant thing. This is the gifts of God are going to help others. This isn't about you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I just felt like, oh, well, if these people knew my past, who am I to be running a retreat? Who am I to be starting a pray and play for moms to go to confession? Oh my goodness. If these women knew what I had done in my past life, they would laugh at me. And once, you know, my community is really what saved me from that demonic dialogue. Because sometimes you need someone to say, hey, no, that's the devil. You're here working for the Lord. Use your gifts. And so Father Keneally really gave me the opportunity to use my gifts. And he reached out to me and asked me to plan the retreat last year. And it was funny because I already had the vision of what I was supposed to do, but I didn't have the avenue to do it. And so when I got the call, it was like, oh, ding, ding, ding. Yep. Of course, this is what it was. But, you know, he said, okay, well, pray on it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. Yep. And really, I knew it. This is what the Lord had been preparing me for. And so just, I would tell anyone, like, we all have unique gifts. Use them, because your gifts are going to speak to somebody different than my gifts. And your gifts, Crystallina, are going to reach somebody that I can't reach. And so we have to work together and form a community of women to support each other and lead each other to Christ.
And there's just this, I don't know, there's just this something amongst women where we size each other up, we tear each other down. We don't want to feel insecure around everyone, and we're always comparing, and it's got to stop. Like, that is something you have to pray against. I think every woman is tempted with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is, but every woman is tempted to do that in circumstances. And it's in the church. And just because we're in the church doesn't mean it's not there. I think the evil one's going to go overtime to make it even harder and more tempting, right? And this is my territory. What are you doing? You know, kind of thing. Wait, no, this is God's kingdom. There's nobody's territory here, right? And we're honored to be there. But if there is an insecurity, and what I have learned in my own life, and if I am insecurity because of another woman, when insecurity of mine comes up, it is because there is a brokenness within me that I need to address. It's coming up and it's just like, oh, why do I feel that way? What in her is making me upset or anger, feeling like I have to compete, that I'm not worthy enough or good enough, that I have to show them that I'm better than her. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it goes back to what is happening inside of me. You know, it has nothing to do with her. And yes, can there be some vicious people out there? Absolutely. But when God is fighting for you, he will fight for you in moments, and you just have to hand it over to him. And it's not always easy, but you do. But there are so many women out there that are handicapping their own gifts out of fear of not being accepted or rejected or just afraid. And that's why I wanted to do this show, is because do not be afraid. And if you're doing the will of God and you feel he's asking you, step into that, ladies. You step into that unfearful and knowing that Jesus has put this on your heart. And if he doesn't want you to do something, I have experienced that. He's going to stop you. He will stop you in his tracks, in your tracks, and he will let you know exactly what direction he wants you to go in. But it's a matter of being obedient, staying in his grace, and accepting his will in your life. And that's not always easy. So what did you do in those times when it wasn't easy, Dominique? Because that time does come, especially if you're trying to do the will of God. You almost put a target on your back, and that's okay, because either it's like you lay down and die and just go with the ways of the world, or you get up and you fight and you join in this battle with all the other good people of faith, and you keep going and we do what we're asked. What did you do in those times?
You know, when you are really going to battle for the Lord, the spiritual warfare is very real. And I know that coming from your family and what Jason does. But as you start to do things, things happen. My friend and I that started the Pray and Play, when we were at the zoo just a few months ago, we were targeted by traffickers with our six kids. And I knew right away it was more than just a physical attack. It was a spiritual attack, because right when it started happening and we knew we were in trouble, I immediately went to, I am done running Pray and Plays. I'm done doing women's retreats. I just want to hide. I want to be out of the spotlight entirely. And when we finally made it safely home, I remember thinking to myself, wow, that's weak. No, you stand up and you fight. You don't give in. And
and don't be scared.
Don't
right?
be
Not
scared.
To be afraid.
Don't be scared. I have, you know, since doing this, since it's been such a rapid conversion, the devil does not like me. And that's okay. I'm good. I don't want him to. And so when he attacks me, I've found I can't show fear. I have to pray. I have a little pocketbook of prayers that I just know I have to turn to when these attacks start coming. But really what saved me is the community of women around me, that when I was down on myself or struggling with spiritual warfare, these women would pick me up. They would pray with me on the phone. They would come to my house and bring me dinner and pray over me. My spiritual director is so beautiful, and she would just meet me wherever I was, and she would come pray over me, pray with me. And that's when the community comes in, because when you start going to battle, you're going to get attacked, you know, by the devil, but you need your community to pull you out.
Right. And the devil wants to isolate. So do not allow yourself to be isolated from your loved ones and the people in your community that God is giving you within your church or the people around you. And also, you have to get rid of the toxic people in your life. Mm-hmm. I have found that is huge, because it almost is allowing that toxicity and those insecurities and that beat down in your life and it's voluntary because you're allowing it almost. So it's like you've got to somehow set boundaries. And if you can, not to allow those toxic relationships there, because slowly it grades on you, slowly it beats you down, slowly the negativity, it does get to you and it affects you. And as much as you think it may not, over time it does. And so really pray about every person that you allow in your life and discern it. And I put everything in front of Jesus in the Eucharist. Any new friendships, anything we're doing, any projects, anything at all, I take it to Jesus and I get my marching orders. And if you, and literally there have been times where I am not, I don't pursue a relationship with someone, or I don't do a project, or I don't travel somewhere because I know in my heart of hearts, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing right now. Mm-hmm. And all I want to be doing is the will of God for my kids, for my family in ministry. And I just want to do what He's asking me to do. And it's not easy. It's very, very difficult. And, it's like you have to pick your poison almost of like, okay, well, you want to live the ways of the world. You want to take everything the world has to offer. I lived that life and I was absolutely miserable and it was horrible and it was hard and lonely and I hated myself. Then I embraced this life of Jesus and this conversion and what He's calling me to be. And I'm trying to step into that. It is hard. It is difficult. And things will come against you. You know, sometimes family members can come against you. And I've talked to girlfriends that there's difficulty, but at the same time, it is not going to be easy. And it's like, you have to pick your heart. And I know you've experienced that in your life, but at least in this life where we're trying to do God's will, we have help. We have the help of all of heaven and Jesus behind us, you know, battling with us. When you're living the ways of the world, you're kind of left your own devices to get feasted on by the evil one, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So not to be afraid in what God's asking, but I would say if you could do anything in your life right now, ladies, is one, be right with God. Go to confession. Don't hold yourself back. It's not worth it. And if you are, well, why? And how is that serving you? And when I look back at my own life, I was really just hurting myself and the people around me, right? And to go to confession. So if you can go to confession today, go. Like Dominique, go to adoration. I go to adoration. Sit before Jesus. See what it is He's asking of you. Now, if there is someone out there right now and listening to your conversion story and everything that you've done, you're such an amazing woman of God and of faith, and they're not sure what to do or what they can do right now in their own life, what are like three top things that you would give women to do right now in their life that will help them, that they can benefit from on a day-to-day basis, maybe?
Day-to-day basis. Well, first go to confession, not day-to-day, but confession, and start fresh, you know, and make a promise to yourself. Whatever I'm doing that is putting me in mortal sin, I vow today to not do that again and start new. But daily, the rosary, pray the rosary. It takes 15 minutes. And I always send people a video on YouTube, just YouTube, Monday rosary, Tuesday rosary, whatever day it is, and listen to it and uh-huh. You'll get to know it. And it might not be super exciting at first, but I am telling you, the graces will be poured out on you. Just do it. It takes 15 minutes. Second is the Divine Mercy Chaplet. That is just, I love the chaplet, St. Faustina and all the promises that are associated with it. And take whatever you are carrying with you today and place it in that prayer and offer it to God. You are walking with Jesus in His suffering at each step. You know, every step He took when He carried the cross, you're walking with Him and you're just saying, I trust in You. I give myself to You, Jesus. I trust in You. And third, I would say embrace your uniqueness that God gave you, because you are the way you are mm-hmm. because you have a mission. And so if there's something at your parish that you're like, well, I wish I could go to confession and not have to hold, you know, my two babies while I'm in there. Well, start something. If you, whatever you see a need for, I would encourage you to maybe start it or ask if it exists already, and start volunteering. I would just say use your gifts to work for God.
That's beautiful. I love that. I love that. Well, I want to thank you for being here on Women Made New and sharing your beautiful gifts and your strength. And just women out there, I want them to know that you're not the only one in your struggles. Life is hard. Life is difficult. But Jesus can get you through anything. And if he's asking you to do something, he will provide everything you need to accomplish whatever it is he's asking you to do. And isn't that true, though? He always provides everything that you need if he's asking anything in your life. Did you experience that, Dominique?
He always does. Always. I mean, anytime I needed something for a retreat or a pray and play, like, it just happens. I whenever it's in his will, it just happens.
It does. And I wanted to reiterate that, and I repeated myself because it's important, and that God will provide. Well, thank you for being here, Dominique. God bless you. And I'm sure this is not the last that we have heard from you. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Kristalina.
I want to thank my beautiful guest, Dominique, for being here. And to close this show out, we are going to have a quick message from Cameron Fradd about beautiful Mother Angelica. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. God bless.
Hey, y'all. Cameron Fradd here. Kristalina just asked me to say something about Mother Angelica. And I just, she is just a fierce, wonderful, powerful woman. And I know she is like intervening for all of us now up in heaven. And I just want to share this quote, and I just love this. The Spirit gave us his gifts so we would be clothed with the jewels of virtue, the gold of love, the emerald of hope, and the brilliant diamonds of faith. Let us not be content with the scotch tape and the aluminum foil of this world. Okay, what the world has to offer, it's not even duct tape, it's scotch tape. It gets sticky and it doesn't help us. And like, the Lord is offering us these amazing, beautiful jewels, and we just need to say yes. And we just need to give our fiat. And I just love that she wasn't afraid to do crazy, bold things and be powerful. And so, I'm just thankful that we had a woman like her come before us to pave the way, and just kind of that fierce fighting woman, just like Joan of Arc and just like, Kristalina. And I like to think of myself that way too sometimes. And I think it's good to be like, you know what? No, I'm not going to settle for like the little bits of aluminum foil and scotch tape of this world. I want the jewels. I want the diamonds of faith, the emeralds of hope, and the gold of love. So strive for virtue. It's not easy, but it is so good. It is so good to live a good, virtuous life. And when you mess up and you realize you've built a house out of cardboard and scotch tape, admit defeat and sorry, forgiveness, please, Lord, forgive us, and get up and keep walking. March towards Christ, and he will give you his strength. All right, God bless, ladies.